Hello and welcome to the GAA show. I'm Conor Coyle and I'm joined by now former Tyrone senior footballer, Kyle Coney. Kyle, how's it going?
Not so bad, Conor. What about yourself?
Actually, can't complain. So yeah, Kyle, you've announced your retirement from the Intercounty scene earlier this week. I was a little bit surprised as you did an interview with, I think, the Belfast Telegraph just before Christmas there, which looked like you were kind of ready to go for the year ahead, you know, with the new management team and all the rest of it. So what changed over the Christmas period?
I suppose just a few things changed in terms of like just with the body and stuff like that. And I was up at the trials and things just weren't working out. I had to go last night for a scan on my hip. So I decided just look, it's a lot of young boys up there and a lot of things, factors come into play. So I just decided whenever you're like that and you're coming up against boys like you know, boys just raring to go and that are itching to get at it and you're still struggling for your body to 100%, it's a hard decision to make and sometimes you just have to roll with it, you know.
Yeah, no, fair enough. You kind of first rose the prominence, Kyle, on a national level, I suppose, during the minor final, the All-Ireland final in 2008, particularly in the replay where you put on a bit of an exhibition down in Pierce Park in Longford. Talk me through that a wee bit and that team and what it kind of meant to you at that time to win that title.
At that age and at that level, you don't realize the significance of it. You're still probably, you're a minor going into adult life, but really you're probably still a child, really. You know, you've got more responsibilities and all that, but at that age, it was enjoyable. It was, you're playing with boys that I played vocational schools with. You're playing with boys from your own club. There's a couple of three of us on the minor team that time from RBO. And look, it's even probably the Intercounty senior wasn't just as hectic, as serious as it was now. That time minors was, you know, you've done your couple of nights a week. You probably done a Saturday morning. And look, we felt with a group of players in Tyrone, probably, you know, one of the greatest minor teams ever, because what losing was never even talked about. You know, it was something like we knew we could beat anybody on any given day. So we just happened to click as a team, as a unit. Everybody knew everybody really, really well. Sometimes you get now there's clicks and there's pods among teams where boys amalgamate together and sort of be more friendly with it. That just team was an open book, and Raymond Monroe, Roger Keane and Cahal McNally just rolled with it, and it turned into something special that year.
Thank you. Yeah, so at that point, I suppose Tyrone were, you know, after that game, Tyrone were minor and senior All-Ireland champions. It looked for all the world as if Tyrone would go on and kind of dominate football for years and years after that, potentially. You go on to join the senior setup, you know, shortly after that minor win. At that stage, were you thinking to yourself, you know, this kind of winning All-Ireland's crack was going to be easy?
Well, shortly after that, I left. We'd won a minor club title championship, and then I went on to Australia that winter and signed for the Swans, but I suppose then, whenever I did return, you probably think Tyrone had won three All-Irelands, thinking, yes, you're joining the setup. You're probably thinking that you're going into something that's, you're probably going to get one All-Ireland. You know, that's probably the way I thought of it, going in and thinking, you know, this is something that I was going to a team with, you know, a team full of men that's, you know, Owen Mulligan and Stephen O'Neill, Brian Doher, Brian McGuigan, Joe McMahon, men who's All-Stars, Players of the Year, you know, so you think that you do think that you're probably going to get one All-Ireland, you know, so that's probably the expectation I went in with, you know.
Mm-hmm. So you touched on it there, just before you actually joined up with the senior setup, then you signed a contract with Sydney Swans in the AFL. How was that experience for you and what did you learn from it and what did you take from it going forward?
Well, I first received a letter from the Sydney Swans in 2007. It was part of the Dromader team who were beat by Kerry in Tullamore and Offaly. I think it was an All-Ireland quarter final. We were the Ulster champions. Derry were the beaten finalists. So at that stage, the minors, you get a second chance at the only stage if you get to the Ulster final. So I received a letter from Sydney Swans declaring their interest, and then they came over, met me shortly after that. Actually met a few clubs. That's it, Brisbane Lions, Carlton, and Sydney Swans. But I think the Irish tie with the Swans at that stage, having Ty Kennelly and Brendan Murphy from Carlow there, probably was a big influence on that. I went over there in around the start of October and trained with them, signed my contract and trained with them till December before returning home. And look, that experience was something to behold, you know. And as I said, 18, that was probably the first time really away from home without the parents. So, is a decision now that probably it's not that I regret, but I'd love to have seen how it would have played out. But I'd love to know what would have went different if I had stayed, because the feedback I was getting from the club and the coaches was that I was ahead of schedule in terms of development, kicking techniques, getting used to the game. And so it was definitely a brilliant experience. I experienced that the decision was made very hastily because I was young and probably just probably missed home to a certain degree, and coming home at Christmas probably just drove that home a wee bit, and you know, seeing people and getting out. And it was probably just a decision that was made. If I had been there middle of the year and stuck out 6 7 months, I probably would have been I stayed there for a lengthy period of time.
It's funny, you've kind of answered just my next question there in terms of whether you maybe regret not staying longer and giving a bit more of a go. I remember actually specifically at the time that, you know, Arbo were playing in the Ulster Minor Club, I think, at the time, weren't they? And, you know, you were coming home for that, having won the Tyrone minor title, obviously, at that stage. And obviously, you were keen to come home and get involved in that, which, you know, shows how much of a club man you are, obviously. But, you know, I'm sure that kind of paid at home then after being away for 6 or 7 months at 18, kind of, you know, it was a big drawback for you. So
No, I was the captain of that team, and I was itching. I was keeping in contact and with the management. It was Enda Bell and Gavin Devlin, who went on to be the Tyrone selector, but I was keeping in touch with them and was finding out how things was going. I actually come home and we had a couple of training sessions, and just remember doing one of the old school drills that Enda Bell would have been doing, and it was just back 2 men to the front laps. So we're main doing that, and then we done a drill where it was like an envelope run, so it was corner to corner, and then you sprinted the diagonals. And I mean, just being like nearly like a full length of the pitch ahead of the rest of the boys, because I was getting the benefit of professional training, probably training at a high level, sometimes twice a day. I was actually there was a fella on our team, Kieran Coney, who run for Ireland at this stage, was a cross country runner, and I was a lap of the field ahead of him. So that showed you the type of training that was being, you know, used over there at that stage. And look, probably if I had went at a different period of the year, just probably the way the Tyrone Minors worked out and the club football that I couldn't get till that stage. So I would imagine if I had went at, say, June, July stage and stuck out 6 7 months, came home at Christmas, I would have been a different person in terms of I would have been adapted to the lifestyle a bit more. With that couple of months, I was probably still staying in contact with home nearly too much, if you understand me.
No, fair enough. So yeah, kind of after that, then I suppose the years immediately after 2008, then, you know, Tyrone obviously kind of won a couple of Ulster titles. You know, but it was largely accepted maybe that they were a team in transition at that point. You know, a lot of kind of fellas were maybe on the way out in terms of you know, those All Ireland winners and stuff like that. So you know, your part in that was probably curtailed a wee bit by serious injuries. Tell me a bit about those injuries anyway, and how frustrating it was for you, I suppose.
I remember picking up an injury for Tyrone under 21. So I would have been involved with Tyrone seniors, Tyrone under 21s. Like it was a pre-season tournament for Tyrone under 21s up in Trillick. We played Monaghan, and a man going up to catch the ball, and I sort of, my knee sort of went over the top of a Monaghan player's shoulder, and I went down to used one arm to till sort of like break the fall, and I dislocated the shoulder. So I done a bit of rehab and stuff like that, and come back a wee bit, but just the shoulder wasn't the same, so I had to get a shoulder operation, which ruled me out for 6 months. Then I picked up a few niggly injuries in terms of how to get an operation on my ankle and my knee clean outs and stuff like that. So them few injuries probably curtailed a part of my career at that stage, you know. So you don't get the clean run or the clean bill of health that you probably expect as your word I would use. The early part of my career, probably too, in them 2009, 2010 stages, was as they come into his own team, there was a lot of names there that probably were coming to the end of their careers, and there was a bunch of minors, myself, Peter Hart, Niall McKenna, Matthew Donnelly, Paddy McNeice, who all arrived, Kieran Girvan arrived into the Tyrone panel, and we knew no difference, so we're probably expecting to play, you know. But you're going in to compete against boys who have all Ireland medals and say all stars and so on. So you don't get the game time you probably wanted, you know.
I remember just going back to injuries. I remember was there one day in particular? I think you might have been playing for Arbo that was it. You were going to take a 45 or something like that, and it was a bad kind of groin muscle injury or something. Or your muscle ripped off your bone or something. Something.
That would have been 2013, 14 season. I mean, was the first league game, so Tyrone would have been in the National League final, Division Two final. I had previously probably the best run of games I ever got for Tyrone. Tyrone were in the National League final, and it must have been in around Easter weekend or something like that, because then it was the first league game for the club, and men going ahead of 45, as you say, it was against Greencastle off the ground, and I mean, just drawing back to kick the ball, and as soon as I swung my leg through, I just heard the pop, and sure enough, MRI showed a very, very rare injury in GA terms, is an adductor tear completely off the bone. So the adductor is one of the muscles in the inside of the leg, and it ended up down beside the inside of my kneecap.
That's crazy. Yeah, you know, I've never really heard of an injury like that at all. I remember hearing it at the time, and thinking, "This is like you have no luck at all, really, do you?"
The lad, if you mean Dan Carter in the World Cup, suffered the same injury. But done my rehab with Louis O'Connor, and it was one of them injuries that was really, really strange, because it had to be, that operation had to be done in a really quick turnaround, because if that operation wasn't done in a quick turnaround period, that muscle would have reattached itself on down at the kneecap. So I needed it done really quick, and so it turned out that I had to get a screw in my pelvis with it attached back on, and it's actually an injury that's really, really common with sprinters. It's a thing that's explosive off the line. Sprinters sometimes tear that muscle. It wasn't really common in the GAA world, or the even like field sports, you know.
Was that you mentioned there? You know, you had a bit of a scan there in your hip, and if you kind of niggly injuries and stuff. Now, is it been any of that kind of go back to that then, do you think, or just kind of new stuff?
I would say this is something new. I just went from a scan last night on my hip. Could be cartilage damage in my hip. I'm not sure. The physio says just wants to rule a few things out, so I don't know. No, I would imagine this is just something new. I've been struggling probably most of last year with it, and club championship and stuff. You get through the game, and then it struggles after that. But I just want to get it cleared up. If the physio says if you want to sort of prolong your club career for a couple of 3 years, you're better doing this now rather than prolonging through the pain for another year and then having to pull the pin.
So there's one particular league game. I think I remember it was down in Cork, where you know where you shot the lights out really. With I think it was 9 points that you ended up with. Do you have any particular memories from that game?
I do. It's probably, you know, in fairness, that's probably one of my better highlights of my Tyrone career. I mean, going down there to Cork that day, and Cork probably still were not sure of the year 13. So thinking, you know, you're coming up against Michael Shields and Owen Cadogan and players like that. Terms, you're thinking, you know, geez, wonder what it's going to be like. But just everything that day that I happened to turn my hand till was turned out well for me. 9 points. I think kicked five in the first half and four in the second half, and it was a big point for me in terms of, it was a confidence builder. And I mean, there was, the following week was against Dublin. I was thinking, geez, if we get another good performance here, this puts my throne like a stamp on a place for the championship here. This really was. And sure enough, out against Dublin the following week and tore the medial ligament.
You really didn't have much luck, did you?
No, it was I mind that game well, and it probably stuck with me because I knew I was capable of doing that most weeks.
Yeah, no, you're definitely not known for a lack of confidence, anyway, let's say.
No, well, you have to be confident in your own ability, that's the way I tried to approach it. Probably at that stage I was coming back to a little bit of confidence because I would say myself, I'd be a confidence player. Once something goes well for me, I can kick on a bit, and once you kick a couple of points from play, and a couple of them were good points from different difficult angles, so I was confident, and I was confident the following week against Dublin. But unfortunately, these injuries just, you just don't know when they're coming.
Yeah. So during that time, around those kinds of times as well, football was, I suppose, itself going into a wee bit of a transition in terms of the way football was played, defensive systems with, wing forwards, becoming extra defenders, and Tyrone, I suppose, were one of the teams that really adopted that style of play, I suppose. Do you think that had a bit of a part to play in you're saying obviously the injuries didn't help and stuff, but how Tyrone were playing and how a lot of teams were playing, over those years. Obviously, if you're a you're a scoring football playing forward like you were, I suppose. Do you think that had an impact on how maybe you weren't able to nail down that regular place in the team?
No, that period of time probably comes to mind because, as you say, there was wing forwards playing as extra, defenders, probably playing a midfielder that was naturally a more defensive player. So you were playing against teams, some teams, or even ourselves, maybe one forward up. So definitely that become a factor why probably I didn't suit the system that was deployed by Mickey at that time. And it probably had an effect on my career, such because, as I say, whenever I was playing for the minors and stuff, I know, and it's not, know the two games are totally different, and minors are a bit more free flowing and less systematic and stuff. But it probably had a big burn on my career. I come in till I was always thinking to myself, I'd love to be involved with the Tyrone teams that were a few years previous, who had played five forwards up the field probably, and I'd love to been involved in that. But definitely that had an effect on my career because probably wasn't known for being the most hard working player on the pitch. Probably was more of wanted to be the finisher, wanted to be the boy that was getting the ball at the right end of the field and getting it over the bar. But it had an effect on my career 100%.
I'd say there was probably there's not too many inside forwards that wouldn't want to be on the end of a few balls in from wee Brian McGuigan anyway.
No, that's for sure, and even being involved with Stephen O'Neill and Owen Mulligan, them boys. I actually played a few league games down and played one in Louth and then played one in Galway and Westmeath, and like it was at that age, them boys were willing to help you out and make dirty runs for you and stuff like that before the football sort of changed, and then it changed and find yourself having to, I mean, Mickey asked me to play a 10 in one of the league games, and like I was tracking Killian Young all day, and it wasn't where you wanted to be,
So at that stage then in 2015, you left the panel. I think it was shortly after a McKenna Cup final, up in Armagh. I'm sure that wasn't an easy thing to do. I mean, how much of that kind of came down to whatever relationship issues you may or may not have had with Mickey Hart?
So Tyrone, I was 15. Tyrone had just won the McKenna Cup. I had been taken off at half time, and mind sitting there. I actually don't mind sitting there. I mind actually leaving at half time, and I changed my clothes and walked to the car. I just thought to myself that, it's in my head. I had the, no matter how I was playing, I was thinking at that time when I went to the car, I was standing there and I rung the my girlfriend at that time, now the wife. I rang her and says, "Where are you at? I'm at the car." And she says, "What?" I says, "Yeah, I'm standing at the car with my bag, so you might come on." So I mind thinking the road down the road, and it wasn't a big pile of talk in the car on the road down the road. I mind thinking to myself, I think with these subs premeditated, you know, was I going to be taken off? Maybe I'm just thinking I was probably rash at the time, you know, but I actually thought I'd played r relatively well in the first half, scored a couple of points, scored a free kick, you know. And so I said at that time, look, things just were very better with getting a confidence with the club, getting back to the club scene, getting back to playing week in, week out, knowing you're going to be playing. So that decision was made just, and I left it from there and I got back to my club and got back to finding a bit of form. That's what it was all about, you know.
So after that, then you returned then in 2019. How did that come about, Kyle? And was any kind of was that relationship with Mickey repaired at that stage completely, or was there still a little bit of angst between you?
Well, actually, 2018, I had Gavin Devlin. I'd actually got into really good form for the club 2017 2018 season. I was playing really, really well. I felt that I was playing really well anyway. And I mean, having I got married that year and coming back on the I didn't want to miss any league games for Arbo. So the way I worked my honeymoon was I went on I got married on the Friday, left for Portugal on the Monday, made it back till Edendark where I now live. We were playing Edendark in a league game that Friday night. So I made sure my flight was back early on the Friday and I played the league game on the Friday. And sure enough, drinking and eating all week, I said to myself, I'm not going to be able to move here today. But sure enough, it's probably one of the better games I had in an Arbo jersey. And Gavin Devlin landed to the house that night. So we did, or no, sorry, the next day he landed to my house and he said, look, you're playing the best football I've seen you play in a long time. Where Mickey's going to phone you and we're going to see what things are like. That was May. So it was going to go into June time for the club and or the county. So they've been prime championship time. So he phoned me and Mickey phoned me the next day and I said, look, I need to think about what way I'm going to work this and stuff because you know I'm coming into a team here that's already settled and the team was playing. That team has 12 or 13 regulars and it was going to be, am I going to come back in here to make up the numbers? Am I going to come back in here to make up a training panel? Or, but funny enough, in that game too, I got a slight bang in the knee from picking up a ball and the knee just never really was the same that whole year. So I made a decision not to join the panel that year. I joined the panel then, obviously, the following year when I was got the full bill of health again. And look, I went back with a clean slate, and I'm sure, look, Mickey doesn't he's not there to hold grudges or nothing, or that's not the way relationships work. But I don't think me and him had the best relationship, and even from going back in 2019, I think that probably the reason why the take. Took me back was or re I rejoined the panel was probably because it was probably an unavoidable situation for them because I was probably playing the best football in Tyrone, so it was right you're gonna have to get this man back in, but it probably would never was never going to make a burn on my Tyrone career when I think back now, you know, no matter what I would have been doing, I don't think I was ever going to get that starting position that I was looking.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, so did you notice much of a difference between obviously that's a bit of a gap of 4 years there where you were out of the kind of inter-county game. Did you notice any difference in terms of how the football was played in between those times or even in terms of the training schedules or anything like that? Was there much of a difference, or by 2015 was it already kind of flat to the mat, you know, as max as you could go anyway?
No, there was a there's another level again. Men come back into the fold, say come back into the fold in 19, and boys were. It was a totally different environment in terms of, like, boys were more zoned in on what they were doing on their own, more worried about diet, more worried about gym sessions on their own. It's not possible for any county team to do any more really than 3 to 4 nights a week anyway. but it's what they were doing on their own, what level of commitment was being put in outside the gates of Gervais as such. You know, there's boys training 6, 7 times a week, you know, maybe some boys training twice a day just to get to that level. Football became, what I noticed, a lot more possession based. You know, it became a lot more the ball is king and another team can't hurt you without the ball. Became, you know, you would have been highlighted in video work with you giving the ball away once because there was a chance it could end up in the back of the net. So in 2000 and them early years of the my Tyrone panel probably wasn't as say it probably wasn't as hectic as that. You know, there definitely was a major step up in terms of training and load. As I say, you can't really do much more than them nights a week. So it's what boys were doing on their own was massively.
Were you able to adapt to that really? You know, obviously, kind of you're coming back and having that's not necessarily what you knew. Were you able to adapt to that and kind of keep up? I suppose obviously there's probably a good few fellas that were there, you know, a good bit younger than you. Maybe lads that had more time. Obviously, you know, you're working full time. Like, you know, was that something you're comfortable with really?
Well, it did take a period of adapting to that. I was one of those fellas who probably would have been training in the gym anyway, working away, doing a certain amount of running and stuff. The way I always tried it, way in my head was, I would have been one of the fellas who, some boys are different. It's just my mindset. If I had missed one training session, I would have felt unfit. Or if I had missed one, you know, night that I wasn't planning to do something, if I was in my head to go to the gym after work, if I had missed that session, I said that would set me back. Where other boys can maybe do one session a week and feel flying. That's just so. I was always training 3 to 4 times a week anyway, but the level of intensity probably was the main thing that I noticed. You know, gym sessions with Peter Donnelly, when you're back to your body, were through the roof. The intensity was through the roof. So it probably did take a wee bit of adapting that way just to get back to that level of fitness as such. You have a certain level at club level, but county's another step up again. So it probably took a wee 6 months or so to get used to that, and you had a good winter, and it did take a bit of getting used to, in all fairness, like.
So you've played against Dublin a few times, I suppose, over the last couple of years since you returned. What level are they at in terms? I mean, we all know, you know, they're 6 in a row All Ireland champions now. You know, they seem to be quite a bit ahead of everybody else at this stage. And you know, I'm just kind of interested to find out, you know, what level, you know, are they at, you know, and from your perspective and from having played against them, and do others, you know, like Tyrone, for example, have the ability to catch them at this stage, or do you think they're too far ahead for this foreseeable?
They're a superb team, and it's really hard to put it down to something in particular, of what they're at or what they're doing. I can't imagine the difference between Tyrone, Dublin, Mayo, Kerry, Galway, Monaghan. I can't imagine their difference in terms of their training nights or what they're doing, because, you know, as I say, being involved with the county, there's nothing possibly they can really be doing much more. They don't have the time. We're in one sense, we're not professional, or as I said, the county seems not professional, but in another sense, it really is professional, because I know, but I have been speaking to a few of the Dublin lads and speaking to a few of them recently, that they're not doing any more training nights than us. You know, it's just probably they have supremely talented footballers. Like, they keep reinventing themselves. You know, people say it's a once in a generation team, but they keep reinventing new players. Sean Bugler's there, Paddy Small's there. It's just that they have exceptionally good players. That's nothing that Dublin, you know, people talk about money and people talk about this, that, and the other. You know, James McCarthy was an exceptional player, one of the greatest probably ever. That's money doesn't buy that. That's down to dedication, hard work, putting in the graft. And they're probably lucky just that they have 9 out of 10 players all over the field every week, where some counties just don't have that. You know, they're probably chopping and changing a wee bit and bringing in certain player this week and next player, there's a good chance you can name Dublin team every week, bar one, bar two players, and they're coming off the boys are coming off the bench. You have to give Jim Gavin credit that, you know, they're coming off the bench and they're making the difference. I don't know where that's been. They know their role, or they've been kept in the loop, or I don't know, but everybody's fighting for the same thing. They're an exceptional team, and I do believe that, you know, other teams are not as far away as people may think. You know, Kerry had them on the ropes a couple of years ago with the All-Ireland final at the replay. I know that the previous years Tyrone had an All-Ireland final against them, 17 maybe, and started, you know, like a house on fire, 5-0 up, and that come down to probably boys playing in their first All-Ireland final and started to shoot from places that they didn't shoot from. And I think that game might have played out a wee bit different if Tyrone had managed the game better. So I don't think that they're that far ahead. I just think that they're, when you look back at games that they're playing, there's a period in the game from 40 minutes to probably 55 where they'll reinvent themselves. They'll bring on Paul Mannion. This year they brought on Paul Mannion, Brian Hurd, and they probably finish stronger. You know, Dublin probably are one of the only team in Ireland who make subs and get stronger. Other teams probably make them and get weaker to a certain degree, you know. So that's what I think is key for them.
So Mickey's obviously exited the management as of last year and been replaced by Brian Duher and Fergal Logan. From what you've seen so far, you know, obviously you've only maybe really been involved in trials and kind of pre-season stuff at this stage, obviously. Have you noticed any significant changes in terms of how they would be approaching things compared to Mickey? Can we expect anything new from Tyrone this year?
I would just as they've been involved in trials and stuff that, you know, they definitely were they were definitely going about things a lot different than how Mickey was going about them. You know, they brought up 60, 70 new men for not new men, but they brought up 60, 70 players for trials and stuff like that. And I noticed that there was a lot of players who's been there for a long time being tried in different positions. The feedback that we were getting at half time of the games was get the ball in as fast and early as we can do. We're going to try and play three forwards up, four forwards up the pitch at all times. Their big motto was just, you know, let's do as little with the ball as possible, but get it to the far end as quick as possible. You know, where previous times, as I say, Mickey might have been more worried about possession, you know, and might be more worried about where, you know, how long we'll have the ball in terms of, you know, just if you don't lose it, another team can't hurt you. But I don't think that's going to be the approach from Fergal and Brian and Collie and Joe, them boys. I think they're going to be more, let's go and hurt teams and let's nearly tell a Dublin extent, let's outscore teams because Tyrone have the firepower to do that.
That's interesting, like, because I mean that from what you're saying, it is going to seems to be it's going to be a big change. I mean, obviously, you know, it's still early days or whatever, but and we'll see how things go. But that's interesting to see that's where things are going, I suppose. So what now for you, Kyle? I mean, I'm sure you have your eyes set on a senior championship with Arbo. You know, Arbo haven't won one since 1988, as I'm sure you're well aware at this stage. So I'm sure that's kind of that's pretty much top of the list when it comes to Kyle pre or post Tyrone.
Big time, 100%. That's the key, and it's every player in Tyrone's aspirations to win the O'Neill Cup. But as a club and Arbor have been too long without one, without a doubt. It's been too long. 98, we've got a final, a couple of semi-finals here and there, and we've got good management, you know, at the helm this year, a good experienced man there. So, look, the aspirations now are just get cleared up, get the body healthy, get it fit. Get Arbo didn't have a good league campaign last year, you know, and success doesn't come from, you know, turning up on championship days and trying to win a championship and only winning one league game. So, we've a lot of work to do, and we've a serious youth in Arbo. So, it's just about getting us back to a club where we belong. Winning, getting into league finals, getting the top four leagues. You know, I know it's going to be slightly different this year, next year. There's going to be 1A and 1B, and things are going to be slightly different in the club scene, but it's just getting us back to where we belong in a club and helping bring to youth. You know, I probably have aspirations of coaching to a certain degree. I've helped out before with the 16s and managed the under 14s and stuff like that. But the next couple of years are definitely going to be solely set on trying to get a real cup or trying to get a league medal with Harbo, trying to get some kind of silverware, because I don't want to end my senior career with them, with all the boys that you know you play with on a weekly basis and train with. You want to try and get something out of that, you know.
It must have been fairly disappointing, obviously, you know, getting beat by Dungannon earlier this year. And you know, I suppose at that stage, you know, that would have been considered a fairly big surprise. I would have said, you know, he's probably went into the Dungannon game, you know, with a favourites tag. You know, after what happened on to happen after that, you know, where Dungannon went on to go on this brilliant run, did that make it any easier or more difficult? You know, once you've seen what they went on to do, that the fact that you were, you know, you had them, you know, a few points up going into the last minute.
No, probably made things out. It probably rubbed salt in the wounds to a certain degree, because, as you say, went into that game probably favoured in our own right. But looking back now, you have to give them again credit, because they had an under-21 championship. They had a youth structure and youth setup that had brought through a lot of youth. But at that time, we were favourites, probably because we were a Division 1 club and the status of our club was that for there that length of time. That was an incredible run they went on, but seeing them obviously take Errol Kearn and then take Tillich in the final, probably it was good that Throne were streaming all the games and you could see them all live, but you're probably thinking to yourself, you know, that could have been us, you know, that should have been us. We were a couple of points up going into injury time of extra time, and you think, you know, what could have been, could that have been us? But sure, every game was different. The Aidan or the Errol Kearn game and Tillich game wouldn't have played out the same at all if we had been there. But Dungannon were full of credit for their win, and their never say die attitude was, you know, it was great to see, you know, sitting back, and it was nice to see. Obviously, the Throne Championship's the hardest championship in Ireland in my eyes to win, because nobody ever retains it. So be out to everybody be out to get Dungannon this year.
I say they will, definitely. All right. Listen, Kyle, thanks very much for taking the time to speak. That was brilliant. I'm sure I'll get chatting to you soon.
No bother at all.